Set up and everything and strung and everything, it needs continual maintenance, just like we do, you know. Sometimes we're a little out of tune and we need to kind of tighten up in some areas of our lives. Other times we have a neck, you know, we can be stiff-necked and kind of turn away from what God wants us to be doing. We need to let the Holy Spirit adjust that, you know, so everything can flow and everything can work the way that He intends it to work, amen. Every part has its piece and it serves its purpose, just like every member of Christ's church has its part and serves their purpose, amen? And you can't have a fresh outpouring of the Holy Spirit if you don't have forgiveness, amen?
Amen.
Because that's the message that we've received, and that's the message that we push. So we've got to have that forgiveness alive in our hearts. I've spoken about it before. You know, mercy is a gift from God, you know? And you never really understand how great a gift that is until you're able to give it. Amen. It's very humbling to be able to, you know, forgive wrongs. And it's very hard because we have this thing called pride, you know. But it's got nothing to do with the work of God. So, Father, we come before your throne and we just want to ask for a fresh outpouring of your Holy Spirit. We lay down our hearts before your throne. We pray that you would send your holy fire to burn away all the impurities within us and just make us pure, make us whole, God. We want to be a vessel used for your glory. We want to be used to spread the message of your kingdom, God. We know that you've promised such magnificent things to us in your word, and we pray that we could be partakers and sharers of that promise. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
But you know, oh, how he loves us, huh? You know, Paul said to the Romans that God has shed his love abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. Amen. And I was sitting there thinking, man, I don't know about you, but I think that we ought to, for a moment, ask God to help us to open our hearts. Now, I know that we have, but maybe in a special way that we might just for a moment get focused and say, Lord, pour your love into my heart again. Amen. There's love, and we're worshiping and singing, and I sense his love, but maybe in a special way. If you feel like, just put your hand up, man. Close your eyes and just say, Lord, I open my heart to you, and I need a fresh experience of your divine love, that immeasurable love that might come and just bathe me in that love. Bathe us in your love, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise him and thank him. Even before you sense his love, praise him and thank him for it. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Break on through, Lord, through our unbelief. Break through our pride. Break through into our selfish stuff and push it away that we might receive your love afresh right now. Hallelujah. We need a touch from you, Lord. As Matt said, we need revival. And renewal comes by your Spirit, and your Spirit is love. Oh, Lord, come and touch our hearts. Conquer our hearts with your love right now. Hallelujah. How many are hungry for his love? Oh, cry out to him and ask him to baptize you afresh in his love. Hallelujah. How many are at a point where you just can't go on unless you get another touch from Jesus? Ask him for that touch right now. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. There's some in here that you're troubled, and maybe, you know, you're scattered in your thinking or whatever, and you need a fresh cleansing from God's Spirit. Open your mind and your heart to him and say, baptize me afresh in your love, Lord. Hallelujah. Throughout your record of that early church, Lord, it says, and suddenly the Holy Spirit fell upon them. Suddenly fall upon us, O Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord, we need you. We can only love you if we understand how much you love us first. Touch us fresh, Lord, and we might love you rightly. Is anybody thirsty in here? Cry out to him. Forgive us, Lord, for anything that we have neglected, any sin we have not confessed. Clear out anything that would keep us from fellowship with you. We confess, we repent. We need to see Jesus in a fresh way. Thank him, people. Thank him for his love. Amen. You know, I love coming here on Sundays and Wednesdays and throughout the week because there's something about Set Free that's fun. It's a fun thing coming here, isn't it? At least it is for me. Maybe that's because I'm, you know, the older you get, you become more childish or something. I don't know what it is. But I have fun when we come here. I have fun when we come together. To worship Jesus and learn Jesus through the Word. I have fun during the week with the leadership here and those who are learning to be followers of Christ. We joke around. It's cool, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, come on. I mean, this ain't, yeah, yeah. And there's something, I don't know, you know, so I was thinking about those things this week as I was preparing this new series on the letters of John, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd. John. And in these first four verses of 1 John chapter 1, I kind of found out why we have so much fun getting together. I found out why we love to share and to participate together with John, with the disciples of Jesus then and throughout the ages, as we fellowship with God the Father and Jesus the Son. It's an exciting thing, or it should be. But in this first letter of John, and I'm going to read the verses, then we'll get back to them, but verse 1 to 4, John says this. This is his prologue or his introduction, and he's speaking of the incarnate Word, the very Word of God taking on human flesh. And he says, what was from the beginning, that we have heard, what we have seen with our eyes, what we have looked at and touched with our hands concerning the Word of life, and the life was manifested, and we have seen and testify and proclaim to you the eternal life. You see how he builds on this? Which was with the Father and was manifested to us. What we have seen and heard and proclaimed to you also, so that you too may have fellowship with us, a share with us, participate with us, and indeed our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. Verse 4, these things we write so that our joy may be made complete. Amen? Now, to set up this series, and today we're going to, as I said, begin right here, these four verses. But to kind of set it up, I want us to, kind of give you a little overview of the ministry of the Apostle John. In the Gospels, we get we first get to know John when he was called with his brother James, and both of whom Jesus nicknamed the Sons of Thunder. Mark 3:17. Their father was Zebedee, and their mother was probably Salome. If you look at Matthew 27, Mark 15, and other places, it's kind of implied that that was his mother. Thus, John may have been Jesus' cousin. He and his brother James were fishermen on the Sea of Galilee, and they worked for their dad. John was, according to Acts chapter 4:13, an unschooled, ordinary man. Yeah, he's just a funky fisherman. A smelly, kind of salty fisherman. Unschooled. Ordinary. During Jesus' ministry, what am I stepping on here? I might be stepping on my sermon. John isn't usually mentioned alone by name, but he's usually with his brother James, and along with Peter, because see, if you read the scriptures, you'll find out that they were kind of that inner circle of Jesus' disciples, Peter, James, and John. James and John being brothers, and Peter joined them, and they often got in on some pretty cool things. They were all three present at the transfiguration of Jesus when the very glory of God shone out of human flesh. Amen? And so they were there at that. They were also all three present at the raising of Jairus' daughter. And they were in on Jesus' prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane. And so John was in on all those things. Early in his discipleship, John seems to have struggled with pride, if you read it, the Gospels. For Jesus rebuked him and his brother, James, for seeking to sit on his right and left in the kingdom, Mark chapter 10. Hey, who's going to be sitting there, man? The brothers are arguing, who's going to be on the right hand? I think I am. No, you won't. You're on the left. Nothing but pride. Jesus rebuked him for trying to stop a man who's casting out demons once in Jesus' name. And he rebuked him for wanting, he rebuked John for wanting to call down fire upon a Samaritan village that didn't welcome Jesus in Luke chapter 9. Come on, cook him, Lord. And these were Jesus' disciples. According to Acts chapter 12, verse 2, John's brother James was the first martyr among the apostles. John, the apostle, is the author of the gospel named after him and of another book, the last book of the Bible. What is it called? And then these three letters. Here's something that sets John apart from the other disciple. He is the disciple whom Jesus loved, it is said. A disciple particularly closer to Jesus. He leaned on Jesus' breast at the Last Supper, John chapter 13. And at the cross of Jesus' suffering, he was appointed to care for Jesus' mother, John chapter 19. And so John, listen, John was is often called the apostle of love. His gospel is called the gospel of love. I believe that these three letters of his, and we'll look at it closer in a minute, are the letters of love by John. Amen? And he had a special thing with Jesus. I've said this often, and the Bible says it, which is most important. Jesus had no favorites, but he had intimates. He had those that were closer to him than others, who had a, they just seemed to be more intimate with him. Amen? And you guys, it's the same with us. You are as close to Jesus and as intimate with Jesus as you desire to be. Amen? It was John who recognized Jesus in the miraculous catch of fish. John 21, this was after his resurrection. And he may also have been the other disciple who knew the high priest in John 18. And also the one who ran with Peter, we know he was, to the tomb at Jesus' resurrection in John 20. And so we have John. He later appeared before the Sanhedrin for he and the other disciples for their bold teaching about Jesus and his resurrection, he and Peter, and he was arrested, released by an angel, and later flogged with the other apostles, Acts 5. In Galatians chapter 2, he is mentioned as a pillar of the Jerusalem church, but that's the last Bible reference to him. Early church history, though, pretty much agreed that John the Apostle lived and ministered in Asia Minor toward the end of his life, and he was exiled to the island of what? Revelation 1:9. And this is when he wrote and received the revelation of Jesus Christ. Amen? He lived to be an old dude. And he, according to tradition, he died in the 68th year after our Lord's suffering and was buried near Ephesus. Amen? So there's a little overview of the one who wrote these letters. It's important, I think, that we understand that. He wrote them in response to some theological errors concerning who Jesus is, among other things. But John's opponents, they denied that Jesus is the Christ. We find that in 1 John chapter 2, verse 22. They also, his opponents, did not acknowledge Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh, 2 John 7. To counter this error, John affirms that Jesus is the Christ, 1 John 5, 1 and 2, 22. He also says that we are to believe in the name of the Son, Jesus Christ, in 1 John 3, 23. Eternal life is in God, the Son, God's Son, 1 John 5, 11, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, 1 John 1, 7. Amen? He also taught that Jesus is the Son of God, 1 John 3, 8. That Jesus Christ has come in the flesh, 1 John 4, 2. That he is the one and only Son in 1 John 4, 9. And Jesus is the Son of God, 4, 15. And this was the one who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ, 1 John 5, 6. Amen. And so he wrote this letter to refute some of the theological errors that his opponents had been proclaiming, amen? There were some ethical errors also among John's opponent. They claimed to be without sin or have not sinned. We find that in this first chapter of 1 John. They claimed to have fellowship with him, with God, with Jesus, yet walk in the darkness, 1 John 1, 6. They say, I know him, but they do not do what he commands in 1 John 2, 4. And then John refutes all those things, and we'll look at those as we study these letters. The themes of 1 John are as follows. Fellowship with God. We're going to talk about that today in this first chapter, verses 1, 2, 4. Righteousness, he speaks of, and forgiveness and obedience. We'll look at these things as we continue to study these letters. And then love. Love, John, the apostle of love, the one who Jesus loved, the one who lay his head upon the breast of Jesus. They had that intimate love thing that was really large. He writes often of love in these letters in 1 John 2, 7-11, 3, 10-23, 4, 7-12, and 19-21, and then 5-2. In this first letter, he writes over and over about love. It seems to be his theme. No wonder they called him the apostle of love. He also speaks in these letters about overcoming, a relationship to the world, the Antichrist, Holy Spirit, denying, acknowledging Jesus' incarnation. He also, in the third chapter, 1 John, he speaks of the devil, spiritual birth, eternal life, fear versus assurance, remaining and abiding, and prayer. So if I look at all those things as an overview, the main themes of this first love letter of John, then I come away thinking, man, in this letter, this love letter, this first love letter to the church that he wrote, I come away saying, man, if he deals with those things and if I will hear what he says and where I need to correct myself, confess and repent, man, that helps me to really be living the good life. Did you know God wants us to live the good life? Living the good life. Living large because God's in charge. But he lays out for us living the good life. How do we do it? And so we're going to do this series from the love letters of John. And the first part is the way of life. And we're going to look at from the beginning. You see, we can't even begin to live the good life, the Jesus way, unless we first understand who Jesus is. Amen? And we first discover who Jesus is, and we first come into fellowship with him. How many want to live the good life? How many want to be living the good life? I don't think there's anybody in there who says, I want to live a rotten life. I've already done all that, huh? I want to start living the good life. I think in these three love letters of John, we find out how we are as believers to live the good life. And so, I'm going to pray. I know that was a big introduction. And somebody say, I know we're going to be here till 2, but it's probably 2:30. No, I'm just kidding. But let's pray. Father, teach us today from this first love letter of John. And help us to understand the way of life from the beginning. So teach us in these first four verses of John 1, 1 John 1. And let us see what John is saying. Let us see what he means, and then let us see what he means for us. So help me to teach this, Lord. May it glorify you, Jesus. For we pray it in his name. Amen. Let's read them again, right? What was from the beginning, what we have heard, what we have seen with our eyes, what we have looked at and touched with our hands concerning the word of life. And the life was manifested, and we have seen and testify and proclaim to you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us. What we have seen and heard, we proclaim to you also, that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. These things we write so that our joy may be made complete. In these four short verses, in them, John invites those reading them into a relationship of joy with John, the writer, and those brothers and sisters with him and with Jesus. Amen? He, with those words, he invites us all into a fellowship with him and with those early disciples and with all the disciples through the ages and with Jesus to have fellowship with him. Amen? Beginning, he says. Verse 1, what was from the beginning? What beginning? Well, look at, we just kind of did an overview of John's life, and of course, John was with Jesus in the beginning of his ministry. Jesus came along and saw John and his brother James, and they were on the fishing boat down there. They worked for their dad, man. Zebedee's fish and chip boat, whatever. And he said, hey, come follow me. They dropped the nets at me, and they left. I wonder what the old man thought about that. Hey, boys, come on. That's irresponsible, man. But we know that he was with Jesus from the beginning of the ministry. And so he could be speaking of that beginning. And he probably is, in a way, speaking of that. Or he could be looking back to the beginning in Genesis 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and earth in the beginning. And I believe that is mainly where he's looking. Yeah, of course he's looking back to the beginning of the work. I mean, that's in the back of his mind. But what he's focusing on here is in the beginning, before creation. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Remember in John 1:1? See, that's his gospel. This echoes that. And so right there we can answer this question. He said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then it goes on and says the Word created everything. Does it not? Nothing that was created, anything that was created by him. And so he's looking back to that time, before time, from eternity, from the beginning. He's looking at both, but especially to the Genesis 1 beginning and the opening of John's gospel. He speaks of that clearly. And so he is echoing that here. What was from the beginning? What was from the beginning? John's opening in his letter is connected to the opening to his gospel. And he does connect. He connects Jesus and his personal relationship to the very source or origin of everything. Because see, he says, yeah, from the beginning. Yeah, from the beginning when everything was created from that place. But then he says, but you know, I've seen him, I've touched him and stuff. He links his own personal relationship. He's standing right here, the one who's from eternity, who created all. Can you sense his excitement in those four verses? Man, he's like, man, this is something else. You know, I think we should be going, Jesus is something else. I think we should get these where the scriptures are illuminated to us by the Spirit. We go, wow, Jesus. John did. He connects the Jesus of his personal relationship to the very source and origin of everything. He sees Jesus standing with God the Father before creation itself, but at the same time, he sees him standing right with him.
In John's Gospel, chapter 1, verses 1 to 3, I quoted, we see the height and depth of Jesus' existence. In 1 John 1, 1, we see the personal relationship between the Word and those to whom he had been revealed, including John and the other disciples. Amen? By the way, you guys, we will never know him in that way unless he chooses to reveal himself to us in that way. Amen? But thank God, he chooses to reveal himself to us in that way. How many have had him reveal himself to you by his Spirit? Amen? To where you go, man. That's in Romans where it says that his Spirit witnesses with ours that we are children of God. Abba, Father, Jesus is real. Amen? Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know. Fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go. That should be our heart, huh? And that comes from knowing who he is. Amen? John did. The others did. And John says, I want everybody else to get in on this. He speaks of this. He says, what was from the beginning, what we have heard and what we have seen with our eyes, it's a tangible thing. They saw this mysterious kind of being in a sense that came from eternity, but he's standing right in front of them. They ministered with him for 3 years. They saw him crucified. They saw him die. They saw him buried. They saw him rise up. They saw him ascend into heaven. What we have looked at and touched with our hands concerning the Word of life. The Word of life. Let's stop there. John speaks in this passage right here of this wondrous Word of life. His main point is that we have seen, he says it right there, we've seen, we've looked at, we've touched the Word of life. And in this, John is saying that this Word of life can be known and experienced by people. Listen, you guys, it can't all be cranial. I'm a cranial Christian. I got it all up here. We have to experience Jesus. These words of John and throughout all the acts of the Holy Spirit through the apostles, man, it's like a vibrant, living thing. They'd seen Jesus, and he was real to them. Not just, I know about Jesus. Let me tell you how much I know. It's good to know about Jesus, but it's better to know Jesus. And what we know about Jesus is to lead us into an intimate knowledge of Jesus. This is what John's speaking of here. He's telling us, and he's saying that, again, that this Word of life can be known and experienced by people. The Word. John 1:1, it says, in the beginning was the Word again, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And what it's telling us is that whatever that Word was, it was eternal. It was God. Right? And we know that he's speaking of the eternal Son, the Son of God, God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit, the triune God, the second person. It's speaking in John 1:1 of him, the eternal Son of God. This is who the Word is. He's not some creature of our imagination or just some kind of created person. He is God. Eternal God, self-existent God, second person of Godhead. And of course, again, John was refuting some false teachings from his opponents when he's teaching this. And by the way, in our world today, everybody will say, Jesus is a great guy, man. Even the other religions, yeah, they include him in. I saw a thing by a friend of mine. He posted it and he said, you know something, I've decided that Jesus, you know, I'm walking in my own divinity, and I include Jesus in that with me. I said, well, thank you for helping out Jesus, amen? And thank you for making yourself God
And I'm sorry, because there's only one God. His name is Jesus Christ. There's God the Father. There's God the Spirit. Amen. There's one God, three persons, period. Hallelujah. Where Stan and Sharon go, there's millions of deities. The people worship them, and you know what those deities are? They're demons. But praise God, there's only one God. And he's revealed himself to us as humans, that we can experience him. We can experience and know the eternal word of God. Amen? This is the eternal Son. And in these words, where he says, we have heard what we have heard, what we have seen with our eyes, and what we have looked at and touched with our hands concerning the word of life. You see, John has taken, he brings by his inspirational words, words inspired by the very Spirit of God, he brings the eternal Son into time, into his time, revealing Jesus, whom he knew personally, whom he touched and looked at and had seen. Amen? And this was John's and others' actual experience. Verse 2 again, he goes on, he goes, and the life was manifested, and we have seen and testified and proclaimed to you the eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us. What we have seen and heard, we proclaim to you also, that you too may have fellowship with us, with them. Amen? You know, some teach and taught in those days that Jesus was a phantom. But John says, uh-uh. He is the glorious, eternal Son. He's the down-to-earth God. He came down to earth. John had seen him and proclaimed him and knew him. This eternal word, the word of life, God, became Jesus the Nazarene. From Jesus from Nazareth. Amen? Again, John calls him the word of life. What's that mean? Well, word, and it's the same word used in his gospel, logos, carries a sense of meaning and reason and purpose. In the Old Testament, meaning it always is connected to authority and disclosure and decision and action. The word is powerful. God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. Word, the word, powerful. Let there be light. And there was light. You know, science, cause, effect, cause, effect, cause, effect. Here it is. Here's the cause. God saying, let there be light. Here's the effect. Light. That's God. That's the word. That's the word that was with God in the beginning. His name is Jesus. He's the eternal Son, the Creator. Listen, you guys, the word is powerful. When God speaks, we meet him. By his word, he creates. By his word, he is known. Everybody say amen. The word is Christ. By his word,
He judges. By his word, he forgives. By his word, he fulfills. He's God. He's the Word. He's Jesus. John proclaims that Jesus is the Word of God. It's kind of a mysterious thing. I don't really get it all, but I know this. Jesus is the eternal Son of God. Jesus is the Word of God. Amen? Who came into time. Who took on human flesh. The eternal one who came and was bound by time. The timeless one who was placed into time. Some people say, I wish I could see God. Look at Jesus. I wish I could hear Jesus. Listen to his words. Who created all this? Jesus. Where am I going? You got to know Jesus. Where did I come from? Jesus speaks that truth. Why am I here? The Word tells us why. Jesus does. Amen? He answers the big questions of life. Word of life. John's two affirmations announced to his readers. First, life has its origin from God, does it not? Life begins with God. Secondly, this life from God has come among us, and his name is Jesus. Amen. The Word of life. He's been here. He's walked among us. He physically walked this earth 2,000 years ago. John is saying that God is a source of life, period. To John, life is not an abstract thing of philosophy, a speculation. And so John adds to the word life, the mysterious word eternity. God is eternal, amen? You know, when you're a little kid and you go, who made God? Or you, as a parent, your kids come, all mine did, who made God, Dad? Good question. No one. He's self-existent. He's eternal. How can that be, Dad? I don't know. He's infinite. He's limitless. We're finite. We're limited in our understanding. He's not. Someday we'll understand it better. He had no beginning. He has no end. That's what makes us go, wow. That's why some of your, when we think of the truth of God and his eternal existence, his self-existence, it's too hard for us to grab, and either we run from it or we just go, wow, I don't understand it, God, but man, wow, that's God. He brings this mysterious word eternal. Verse 2, and the life was manifested, and we have seen and testify and proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested to us. Manifested through who? Christ. Amen? Eternal. Eternal life. God is eternal. His speech is eternal. The eternal Word is Jesus. John goes on and says that the word of life has been manifested. Did you see that? The word of life has been manifested. In essence, what he said, the whole relationship of God to man lies in the, according to John, where he was coming from, the audible, visible, tangible, historical appearance of God in Jesus Christ in time. Amen? That's the whole essence of God's relationship with him. And he came. John said, we touched him, we seen him, he manifested this eternal word. The word of God, the word of life, God the Son, has been manifested, and we saw him. We touched him. We handled him. Listen, you guys, in him, he is eternal life. He is the source and origin of life, and he is the one who gives life throughout eternity. Amen? He is the eternal life that John knows so well from personal experience. And now we who are hearing John's word today from this letter, this first letter, we're invited to have fellowship with the other disciples of Jesus, as well as with the Father, God the Father and God the Son. Amen? Verse 3, what we have seen and heard, we proclaim to you also, so that you too may have fellowship with us. Indeed, our fellowship with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We're invited in there. Hallelujah. The Gospel of John records for us Jesus' own definition of this eternal life. In John 17:3, in Jesus' high priestly prayer, he says, "And this is eternal life, that you may know the one and only true God and Jesus Christ, whom he has sent." That is eternal life. Often when we think of eternal life, we think of in the by and by, in the sweet by and by, right? We're going to go up there. Hallelujah. It is that. We have a share in the eternity of Jesus, but he is the eternal life. It's knowing him. See, when you trust Jesus, how many of God brought you to a place where you saw your brokenness and your lostness and your deadness and your sin, and he gave you faith to believe, and you woke up to Jesus? Amen. How many of you did that? Right then and there, you had a portion in eternal life. It starts there because it starts with Jesus. And some people say, "I hope I got eternal life." You got it if you trusted him. But it's knowing him. It's knowing him, it says. And this is eternal life, that you may know. And that word know is not just about knowing about. It's a term that goes back to the Old Testament where it says that Adam knew Eve and she conceived. Amen? It's this intimacy. It's not sexual intercourse in this thinking, of course, but it's that intimacy of being close. It's like John closeness to the master. Amen? It's like John laying his head down on his breast while they're reclining at the table. It's this closeness, this intimacy that's based in love, the agape, God love. Amen? That's when we get, listen, when we get in close to him, who is eternal life, then something happens and it's kind of out of this world, and we go, "I don't understand this, but it really is cool." It's like true. He is. He's my life. He's everything. Oh man, I want to be there. How about you guys? Do you want to be there where Jesus is everything? Where you can speak of him in terms like John, the beloved, amen? Where you can just go, I can't help but share this with people. I want other people to get in on this fellowship with Jesus. They have fellowship with the other disciples and with Jesus and with the Father and the Son. Jesus said, knowing him is eternal life. And in that there is fellowship with him. And John invites us all to fellowship with Jesus. And fellowship in the Greek is the word koinonia, and simply means participation in or partnering in or a sharer. Amen? A sharer. Look, at John wrote this letter because he desired those readers, those who would read it or hear it, he desired them to join in to the fellowship and participation in and share in this knowing of Jesus. Amen? This real knowing of Jesus. You know, the Christian faith, you say, I'm a Christian and I'm a Christ follower, but the Christian faith is one of knowing Jesus. It's knowing him, man. It's a personal knowledge of Jesus that the Spirit of God communicates to us and illuminates our thinking and our mind in the Word. Amen? The written Word is to take us to the living Word. His name is Jesus. And John desires to bring his readers to join in the fellowship, participate in, to be sharers in this knowing of Jesus. The Word of life, the Word of God, eternal life. And so John concludes in verse 4, and I love it. These things we write so that our joy may be made complete. These things we write so that our joy may be complete. You know, to me, you know what that's saying? Because we just talked about fellowship, right? John did. It's saying this. Hey, fellowship is fun. Hello. Fellowship is fun. Or it should be, right? This fellowship with others, other human beings, and with God the Father and God the Son, it's so good. It's fun. It should be fun. It should be fun, right? Is there something wrong with that word? Most of you like to have fun. I'm going to the beach. Why? I'm going to have fun. I'm going to get on that Harley. Why? Because I'm going to have fun. I want to hang out with my woman, man. Why? Because I'm going to have fun. Look, man, when we come together in fellowship, that's what we're doing right now. Koinonia, we come in here to share in Jesus together, amen, in who he is. And it should be fun. I've had fun today. Some of you right now, because maybe you're not having fun, but that's your problem. I'm having fun. Amen? If I go up to the thrift store, man, we go up to the thrift store, Josh and Gina and I. You know, we go up there, man, just to pop in, man. I walk in there, I see that big smiling face on our Arizona, do-do-do-do-do-do. And all the girls are there, hey, Pastor, man, I'm walking around. Even if I'm going up there and say, hey, that's getting cluttered. But we have fun, don't we? I go and I see little Sarah back there, you know, sorting stuff, and I go back there and I have fun with her. Me and her have fellowship in around Jesus. He's common to both of us. And then I take her head and I go, and she loves it. We're having fun. When the pastors and I, myself, and we all go over on Tuesdays, usually over to Ocampo's over there, and we're over there eating and stuff, we're having fun. It gets out of hand sometime. People are looking at us and I go, hey, these people, some of them know we're except for you pastors. Cool it, would you? You know, we should go to church. When we go to church, we shouldn't walk in and all of a sudden, dun, 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 dun. What the heck? Is this a funeral? Not here at Set Free, man. You're going to come in here. And look, one thing for sure, I'm going to tell you this. You go here long enough, and you listen to our music long enough, you will begin to lose your hearing. Eh? What, you don't hear good? Man, I've been going to Set Free for 20-some years. And at least we got some room in here on 15th Street. Anybody been there? It was only 30 feet deep. And we had the band blasting right in our faces, man, and my hair was going straight back. But I don't care where we've ever been. We've had fun. And I think the key to having fun and having that joy is participating together and sharing in who Jesus is and knowing who he is and knowing him, which is eternal life, right? That's why we got smiles on our face. That's why Ryan comes up, man, we do, come on, we, boom, bam, boom. He's my Mexican son. One of them. But we have fun, don't we, Ryan? I like people that laugh. There's a couple I go around here and I say, try to get them laughing, they just stay the same. But God loves them anyway. But you know, sometimes I'm telling you, man, if you're really in Christ and you're having fellowship with all the saints and we're all joining in and participating in who Jesus is and we're getting to know him and all that, how can you have a smirk on your face? How can you be walking around all down and put, what's wrong with you? Are you a Christian? Yeah, well, notify your face. Amen. Now, I can be that way sometimes because I wear it when I'm somewhere where I shouldn't be in my emotions. It's just on my face. People go, what's wrong? Nothing, man. Why? What do I look like, huh? You see something? Oh, my gosh. The mask is off. Okay. See? We're having fun. I'm sweating. Marsh got me this new shirt for my birthday. Oh, man. She knows how to dress her man. These Levi's are pressed. She presses my Levi's on Sundays. She gets out the iron board and she presses that shirt. Man, I come in here and I'm just, whoop. I'm ready for fun. Okay. What else did you get me, honey? Got me a new wallet. Yeah, with the chain on it. Because remember, this is very practical. People say, you're cool, Pastor. You got a chain. No, it's very practical. It's Set Free. Nobody can get my wallet without me knowing. Yeah. They take my wallet. If they take it, then this loop's coming off, and I know something happened. Later. Where's my loop? Got my loop sticking out like that, man. Just hanging there now. Okay. We're having fun. Yeah. Miss Pat always says, I love coming to church, hearing the word, and getting my dose of laughter. Yeah. And I don't even charge her for this stuff. And it's good, huh? This the doses of laughter are good. Laughter is good medicine, huh? And really, physiologically, it gets the certain chemicals going in your brain. Like if you're depressed, excuse me, I don't know where that came from. But if you're depressed, what are those levels in your brain? Melatonin or what is it? Serotonin. Okay, whatever, one of those. But they get depleted. And if you did a lot of speed, you know, tweak. That's what, you know, it kind of depletes. But then you do laughter, and it makes your glands start producing that stuff. You know, instead of taking stuff to just laugh a lot. Helps. Huh. There we go. So, let me conclude. Everybody go, amen. Let me conclude for the first time. We have three conclusions here. What has John said to us in the opening verses of his first love letter. Well, we've learned some of it, right? And what is the significance for our lives today? Because that's important. We need to find application. First, I believe, we read it, we looked at it, we asked what it means, and I believe he said that God has broken into time. Can anybody say amen to that? God broke into time. 2,000 years ago, he broke into time big time, and he took on human flesh. The Word of God became flesh. Amen? The Word of life. And John and them all got to touch him and see him and all that, and they ministered, and they talked, and they hung out, and John got really close to him, along with his brother and Peter. They had a real close relationship with Jesus. Amen? He broke in. He broke into time. And we found that God, who is a source of life, who's made all things his own, who decided to speak that eternal life into the time frame in which we human beings live out our experience. God has been here, man. You know, ET, extraterrestrial. You know, and there's always these movies about these people coming from, you know, aliens coming from space and invading the earth. And, you know, I think that part of that thinking and imagination and art through the media and movies, you know, they make these movies, and I think it's because secretly people are longing for some kind of something to break into time. Amen? Let me tell you, John tells us that God has already done it, and he did it in his son, Jesus. Amen? He's been here. God's been here. By the way, he's coming back. He's coming back. First time he came in kind of in obscurity, just a handful of people knew when he was born. Next time he's coming back, and everybody's going to know. Everyone's going to know that he is God, that he is Lord, that he is King. Amen? You can bow to him now or later. I suggest you do it now. And in that is this, you guys. He's been here, and he's the eternal Son, and he's the Word of life. And it's all in Jesus, the person of Jesus Christ. He's all been manifested in Christ. He's not some kind of, look at, you know, sometimes when people think of God, even Jesus, well, it's some kind of secret message, or it has to be decoded or something. It's mysterious. It's above us all. It's all this or it's all that. But the person to be known, see, we can know. We can know the eternal Son. How many of you know him? How many of you know him, man? How many of you getting to know Jesus? If you haven't, John invites you to. He wants his hearers to look at it and say, man, I want to get in. John says, come on, get in on this with me, man. There's been a big, great breakthrough. Jesus came. God's been here. I touched him. I saw him. I've experienced. I know him. You can too. If you haven't yet, do it, man. And have some fun. That's the beginning of living the good life. Nobody can live the good life until they first have him. They first have trusted him, because, see, he came to clear our sin. He came to pay the penalty for our sin. He came to satisfy God's justice. He came to deliver us from eternal death and give us life. Amen? He came to give us a right relationship with our Creator God, Father. Amen? Amen? It's him, man. And somebody's sitting there saying, man, I want to get in on the fun. I want to get in on this fellowship. I want to be able to fellowship with you as you fellowship with God the Father and God the Son. Because isn't it crazy? There's some people that just maybe a month ago, they're sitting here right now, you'd have never thought you'd be on a church on Sunday morning, especially Set Free Church. And now you're sitting here and you're having fun and you're hearing the word and you've come to know Jesus. You're getting to know Jesus and you're going, what happened? You got saved. You got born again. Amen. And you've joined in the crew, man. But it's weird because that proves that it's all true. Because you would not be sitting here if he hadn't changed you. Amen. There's never been anybody. There's never been any drive-by shootings in the house. Nobody's tried to kill anybody yet. Well, there's been a few little, you know, but whatever. We took care of that. But you know, here we have red and yellow, black and white and brown. And we all, there's no animus, racial animus. It's not from my heart, and I don't see it here. We all get together, man, and we're not trying to kill each other. And, you know, and there's people from different, have done time in the prisons that come from different ones and all that, and nobody's trying to freaking knuckle up on nobody or do a shank or whatever. They're not doing any of that. You know why? Because of Jesus. Because he really does change us. Because he's real. He's true. He's eternal. He gives eternal life. He changes us. And so he's been here. He broke through. And in his breakthrough, we human beings have been able to understand it and know the eternal Son. He's opened it up to where we can understand by his Spirit. We can understand the word of life, the person, Jesus Christ. And thirdly, the result of our discovering Jesus is a partnership, sharing of our lives with our brothers and sisters and with him and with God the Father. With God the Son. And finally, as I said, that brings joy. It would bring joy to John to see us here all joining in the fellowship, amen? It brings joy to our God. You know, in Hebrews it says that Jesus endured the cross for the joy set before him. You know what that joy was? You and me. You know, he endured the suffering of that cross because he could see you and I even sitting here today because he's God. And he's going, man, that makes me joyful. They're in fellowship. They're sharing and participating together in the worship of me and of God. Amen. So we should have fun, huh? I'm coming down. You know, John, I'm excited about this series, man. These love letters of John the Apostle, because that's what they are. And so we've just begun. This first part, the way of life, it has a couple other parts to it. As we finish next week, we'll finish chapter 1, amen? But how many of you guys heard from God today? You heard God's word, right? So if you heard God's word, you heard from God. Here's the key is if the Spirit of God has quickened it into your life, amen? And made his word lively to change us, huh? You know, when I was laying in bed last night and I was thinking about this whole thing, I think, man, sometimes I get so far away from him. The one I speak of, Jesus. I can get all busy doing this and that. And it doesn't seem like I'm living the good life. Listen, when we are away from Jesus, when our fellowship with him is broken, and it only is broken through our neglect and through our sin. Amen. When you know, our relationship's secure in him, but when we get separated from him, we ain't living a good life. We're living a bad life, man. Amen? Nothing goes right. Everything seems weird. We get depressed. We know we're not in his will. Amen? Listen, you guys, we need to get to know him. And the more we know him, and the more we lay our head upon his chest and get to hear his heart through his word, we'll be living the good life. we'll be living the good life that he's called us to live. Amen? And so in the next few weeks, as we look at this, we'll see those different things in that John says in love to his people. If you need to correct yourself here, do so. If you're thinking wrong about Jesus, change gears. If you think that you're living for Jesus, but you're living in and walking in the darkness, something's wrong. He goes through all these things for us. Amen? And look, when we hear those things and we go, that's me, we don't run from it. We run to Jesus. And we say, that's me, Lord. I confess that to you. And then we repent. Say, I want to walk the good life with Jesus. Amen? He is a good, good Savior. Are you getting to know him? Take this passage that we studied today. Here's your homework. Read it this week. Over and over. And say, Lord, continue to speak your truth into my life that I might know Jesus more intimately, who he is, that I might walk with him. Amen? Did I pray? No. Father, thank you for this day. And thank you for your word. And thank you for John's letter in that first chapter, in those first four verses of chapter one. And thank you that we get to learn about Jesus. We come to worship Jesus and learn Jesus, and that's what we've done today. And so, Lord, what we learned of Jesus, help us to walk it out. And, Lord, here's our homework. We got to just push in to get to know him, to get to know that he is indeed the eternal word of God, that he is indeed the word of life and life eternal. Help us to understand those things as best we can by your spirit. But then, Lord, help us remember that he is someone we personally know by the spirit. And we personally need to get to know even more. Help us to do that before we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you guys. Some of you gave me cards and stuff. Thank you very much. God bless you. It's awesome. Amen.